Dear brethren, we thought this morning we would blend together a couple of scriptures such as we have found in Psalm 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my thoughts. To blend this scripture, our heart's desire, with words such as those that are spoken in Luke 12, verses 13 through 21, and also 35 to 40. Be thou therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Remember this story, that while Jesus was teaching the people, a man came to him and said, Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me. Luke 12, 13. Our Lord at this time apparently detected a wrong spirit, a wrong heart desire in this person, a wrong spirit and conduct which deserved some correction, some reproof. And we know that our Lord could read the heart's desire, the heart's intent. When he spoke before the Pharisees, he could read the intents of their heart, that they were looking to try to trap him, to ensnare him, and to bring him down. And as we know, there are many other examples of our Lord seeing right through the words that were spoken, looking directly at the heart. And so he said, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life would consist not in the abundance of the things which he would possess. And so from the standpoint of the man, however, this request was probably not wrong and without reason in his mind and in his heart. At this time, there was the carnal perception held by many of the Messiah that judgment and justice was to be the basis of his reign. Isaiah 9, 7. And if this was so, why not get the benefit of his just judgment now? And although Jesus did not say so, he implied that his kingdom was not of this age, and now was not the time to render this kind of judgment. But we realize that another kind of judgment was to come, and was to be made amongst the Jews, and this involved life. And it included those who were of the right attitude of heart and the right attitude of mind, blending that heart's desire with the mind condition. And of course, the life that Jesus was offering was a spiritual life that could be obtained only by following in his footsteps, as we have a privilege to do now. And also, by participating in his suffering and in his self-denial. One of the important concepts in this arrangement is a proper appraisal or evaluation of this offer that is extended as compared to the things that are offered or extended by the world and the worldly mind, the worldly heart, the worldly attitude. These things that a true child of God is striving to combat, to fight, to resist, to be steadfast to the end against. Remember our studies of this story. This man was apparently consumed with a desire for the material things of the world. He had given little thought to what this was doing to his character. And of course, you could take this story out of Luke and see it in operation today in the world. A desire to accumulate billions. And no thought of the morals involved, of deceit, of lack of character development. And also how these things are often so subtle in their beginnings. But once they take root, these improper attitudes and characteristics of the heart become deeply and firmly rooted in one's heart, mind, conduct. Brethren, if we look at this time to other examples given by our dear Lord, words that are spoken in Matthew 9:16 that include a parable that was spoken by our Lord to a group of people is also in harmony with our lesson. And he told them that they should give up the earthly things to have treasure in heaven. And he said also in Matthew 16:24-26, for what would profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And the words that are so dear to our heart, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me, for he shall find life. And this is certainly what we want to do, to give of ourselves the earthly hopes and ambitions that we may find life and we may sit with our Lord and dwell under the guiding hand of our Heavenly Father, be pleasing servants to Him. If we also consider some further words from Luke 12:16-21, remember this rich man whose land brought forth plenty. There were so much, in fact, that his present barns and his storehouses could not possibly hold this vast wealth. And he determined in his heart to tear down these old barns and these old storehouses to build new ones, larger ones, better ones. That he would construct these and fill them with his vast wealth. The count goes on. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But what does our Lord God say? The words that are spoken, our Lord God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou soul shall be required of thee. Or, why is your soul, your heart, so involved in these things that you set aside all others just to go ahead with these plans of the earthly wealth and the power that goes with it? So, we see that it is also with he that would lay up these treasures for himself, and one who is not desiring to be rich toward God. Remember the words. He determined in his heart that he had to do more along the earthly lines and considering the material treasures of earth. To have his very life consumed with this and his thoughts also with what we realize are but the pastimes of an hour. Brethren, our Lord continued this lesson in verses 21 through 40, from which we would quote in part words that are familiar to us, The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. And seek ye not always what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nation of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth what ye have need of, and that ye need these things. But rather, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell for, therefore, what you have. Sell these things and give alms unto the poor. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth would corrupt. And those words that we've heard, for where your treasure is, so also will your heart be. And of course, if your heart, your desires are dwelling on these things, it's going to consume your mind. And you're going to have sleepless nights, tossing and turning, if you have not put your total faith and trust in heavenly things, and indeed in the love of the Heavenly Father. These words that our Lord spoke also on the Sermon on the Mount concerning the care of our Lord over us, and that we should bear fruit in our lives along spiritual lines, and that we should also be obedient to Him. He spoke these words for us to read and study. And then He has asked us to take it a step forward, to do more, to apply them, to make them our own, that they become us, even as one who wants to be obedient to the Father. It has been said that these words spoken by our Lord make an excellent theme text for our lives that we would follow, that we would render our all unto Him. So again, we should strive to follow this key advice daily and to do these things against the comments of those in our working place, those about us in our daily lives that would say, do not sacrifice, do not do these things, be more like us. But of course, we have vowed a consecration vow to not be like the world, but to be different. And indeed, He has lifted us up out of that condition. And our goals, our hopes, our aims, our heart's desires are certainly different from those in the world. And also, we have the assurance that if we are faithful and continue to strive to be pleasing to the Heavenly Father and our Lord, we will one day reach our goal and receive the reward. It is important that we remind ourselves that the kingdom of God has the first priority in our lives, as we heard spoken this week. And it reminds us that no man can serve those two masters, God and Mammon, for he will hate or love less the one and love more the other. For when we responded to that call, those dear words, my son, give me thine heart, we were certainly filled with joy. We made a decision as to whom we would serve in our lives, remembering that the Father loved us first, And he chose us out of that world with their vain hopes and delusions that we perhaps were once part of, and with a special place in his heart, he has opened up the words in the scriptures to us and his wonderful plan of the ages. The arrangement also, the part that we play in this, if we continue to be faithful in our lives and desirous of being pleasing to him. So let us each day strive to serve only his plans and purposes, not our own plans and purposes, but to serve them, dear brethren, to the best of our abilities. And that's all he is asking of us. To put him first and his dear son first in our lives. And to be considerate of those about us, our brethren, our loved ones in this holy family of the Lord. And we could say, and should say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will strive to dwell under the shadow of his wing, and also to dwell in the bonds of his love, and serve him come what may, for he hath promised to never leave us or forsake us, and he is a faithful Father. In him do I put my complete trust. And of course, nothing short of this complete trust would be acceptable in God's eyes. From his standpoint, he has taught us this through his word. So I will also totally submit my will to him. I will give my all. This is my heart's desire. We realize also that another part of our lesson has to do with being prepared. If we continue the text that we were reading, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning, and yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he returns from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may cometh unto him immediately. And the thought, as we know here, seems to imply that there is an urgent need to pay strict attention to the Lord's arrangements and requirements. Strict attention. If we are having that desire to be pleasing to him, and have that desire and that privilege to partake of his blessings, and this would then be a reality for us. And also the text continues, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, find watching. Verily I say unto, he gird himself and sit down to meat and will come forth to serve them. And here we see implied a principle that we should strive to put into practice today in our daily lives at the end of this age. Again, the promise that to those who are awake and have that sincerity of a heart's desire to serve him, to be with the Lord, will be fed by him through the ministry of this Holy Spirit, and will have an opportunity to live and reign with him in the kingdom. Luke 12:35-37. And we can say, my goal is Christ and Christ alone. Because we love to do his will. We love to learn of his ways. So therefore, these words are certainly words of life to us. For they do convey many terms upon which we can gain life and become joint heirs with him, and walk with our dear Redeemer. And he has laid out terms for us to follow, and they are self-denial, and cross-bearing, walking in the footsteps, becoming followers of Christ, Acts 14:2. Yes, for those who will ultimately reach that goal of a heavenly realm, it is so important and so necessary that in our lives today, we demonstrate a loyalty to God. We are His ambassadors. We are loyal to Him. When we're here in the meeting, we're a loving, kind, considerate person, striving to live up to the truth that it has been revealed to us. And when we're out in the world, we're still that loving, kind, considerate person who's striving to live up to the truth that has been revealed to us. And so, we go on in our lives striving to live a life of self-sacrifice. And this will be proven to the utmost in our lives, as we have seen in the life of our Lord, the life of our Apostle Paul, the lives of those who have walked this way before us. And we are reminded that our aims would be that we set our affections and minds on things above, from Colossians 3:2. Not on the things of this earth. Paul tells us to seek those things which are above, and we get out in an active service, enthusiastic, joyfully doing these things. Where Christ would sit on the right hand of God. For in earthly things there are only mocking delusions, crushed hopes, leaving the heart at last broken and barren. And be ready to be used in the service of God. Of course, we're speaking of having that heart that was once stone turned to a heart of flesh. Just as the world of mankind will have that change from hearts of stone to fleshly hearts by the work of those faithful footstep followers of the Lord. Yes, those earthly treasures of wealth and fame, social distinction, friends, home, family, and family position, power, influence, the things that fill our news media today, we see how they are so subject to change. Friends who are friends today may tomorrow turn against us. But our Lord appeals to us to come to Him with our special burdens and to come to Him with hearts that are heavy laden. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of this contrite heart, a heart that has a sincere sorrow for sin, that is open to want to do more and to be used in His service. And in Psalm 34:18, those words are spoken. If we do these things also, the Lord in turn lightens our burdens, and He grants us peace, and He grants us rest. And He exercises His compassion for us. We have come to realize that God's love is very sweet to those who are sad or disappointed at times in their earthly struggles, who become a little weary, and who come to Christ for rest and for comfort. We realize that there alone can true blessings and safety be found. There alone is the real treasure, exceeding the choicest treasures of earth. Our Lord Jesus said, John 14:15, "If a man love me, He will keep my commandments. If a man love me, he will keep my words. He that loveth me shall of the Father be loved. Certainly, this is our treasure. This is our heart's desire. Yes, dear brethren, this love that we have spoken of so many times. The Lord Jesus and the Father have this perfect love. Love, this fulfilling of the law. Love that we're told in Matthew 22:37, the first commandment. Love that we do with our whole heart, because we realize that nothing short is acceptable to Him. Love in John 8:42, the sign of a true faith that's firmly rooted, that is strong, that is sure, that can stand trials and difficulties. And also that we love our neighbor as ourself, and love that leads us to service. 2 Corinthians 15:14. Love. On the top of the list of our priorities, our aims, that we love one another again as I have loved you. Love that we use to lay the foundation of our faith, and which we are now, through our Lord's grace and help, constantly refining and improving and developing, that we can reach that mark one day of perfect love. That we can go on in this narrow way, which leads to life forever with the dear Father in heaven. For He hath given us the power of a sound mind to use these things, and love, 2 Timothy 1:7. So a mind that is strong is filled with the Holy Spirit and with love, even as our Lord's was. And as we develop love and we develop our spiritual minds, of course, this is the maturity, the maturation, a change in our outlook and devotion, wanting always, as we have said, to do more and to be used more in the service to the truth and the brethren. And this will help us in turn to gain a better insight into our priorities, our responsibilities, our fleshly shortcomings and limitations, and should indeed help us to continue with the words that are spoken in Matthew 10:39. He that loses his life for my sake shall find it. We want to be as one who is wholly committed to the Lord, the truth, the brethren, that we may strive to do the words that are spoken in Romans 12:1. Present your bodies that living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. These things will be required of you. And also, be not conformed to this spirit of the world, but be ye transformed by that renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And how do we do this in our lives? One step is that we accomplish these things through the Lord's grace and also through prayer, the development of that loving, contrite, humble spirit, the heart condition. It enables us to study and meditate upon God's Word and to fellowship with one another in the proper way under God's direction and His watchful eye. That we can go on in our lives to do all we can for the edification of the body of Christ as a whole, and for this spiritual oneness that we have felt during this week. And as we do with our home ecclesia, as we meet together and strive to serve the Father with the singleness of purpose, this is our heart's desire, to uplift one another, building each other up in this most holy faith, to sincerely want to be of help, of comfort, of consolation, because this is what our Lord did in His life. And of course, we are striving in our lives to emulate Him, to strive to walk in newness of mind and life. Romans 6:4. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, that ye set your affections on things above. Again, Colossians 3:2. Who is the giver of every good and perfect gift, and freely dispenses these blessings unto you, our loving author and finisher of our faith. For behold, when we do these things, when we give our lives to Him, the old things are passed away, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So therefore we should conduct ourselves accordingly as to one who possesses this new mind. Our thoughts, our motives, our actions, we strive with the Lord's help and through prayer to keep them in check, that we can reflect this new mind that dwells within us. For we are constantly remembering that, as it says in Romans 8, verses 9 through 10, ye are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Because Romans 8:8, those in the flesh cannot please God. But be ye of good cheer, says our Lord. I have overcome the world, that ye may have peace, the peace of mind. For whosoever is begotten of God overcomes the world. 1 John 5:4. Certainly, brethren, we have been talking about sacrifice, about overcoming, as we have been beseeched by Paul to present our bodies that holy, acceptable service. And we have been admonished during this convention to do so. And we realize that we gladly render our bodies to Him with that active, the joyful, the enthusiastic service. For in every heart that is true to its calling, we find gratitude and we find devotion dwelling there. It hits a responsive chord in our lives. And as each one in their own life hits this responsive chord, when we gather together in the meetings, in our ecclesias, or in the convention, can you see and hear how all those chords blended together would send a beautiful melodic tone up to the Heavenly Father's ears, that He indeed can be pleased in His children who are striving to do these things in their lives, to thank Him for His loving kindness which has been so bountifully showered upon us. This heart that we have that is aspiring to improve our heart's intent and to have an effect on our character, and to in turn have even more faith, and to show forth even more appreciation to the Father and more love. Love that is not the superficial love, but the love that radiates from within ourselves, deep within our hearts, and is projected out. It fills our whole being with warmth and leads us on to work and to service. James 2:16 and 17. We then strive to rid ourselves of the weaknesses of the flesh, knowing that with his help and with this robe of our Lord Jesus Christ, righteousness, we can overcome all obstacles. And in this present life, he builds us up even further with the gems of faithfulness and through his providential care. Yes, we know that we will have trials in our lives, but we must have them, and we will have them, and we must continue firm through them. We must endure steadfast to the end. And one of our aims is to keep ourselves well prepared, to be ready to be used in his service, come what may. James 1:2, we count on all joy when we have testings and persecutions. Joy in knowing that the Lord is working in us and through us and with us. 2 Corinthians 4:17. We should note every deed of love and kindness toward us that cometh down from the Father of lights. And we have a responsibility here to return these acts of kindness, to give thanks to him, to return our gratitude and appreciation, so that in turn we can perform loving acts of kindness towards others in this most holy faith. Of course, this comes from an unselfish heart, one that realizes that we owe our all to him, striving to emulate our dear Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, when we are told, in everything give thanks. We're always looking toward the loving face of the Father. We're desirous of his blessing, desirous of hearkening to his every word, to dwell with him, walking in his favor as a loving son would do toward his own natural father here on earth. And we also should all then praise his name. And let us go instantly to him in praise and in prayer. Acts 16:25 also. Hebrews 2:12. We will sing praises unto God. This is our heart's desire. He has dispensed so many rich blessings unto us. He has provided us a feast of the finest of the wheat from his storehouse. This wealth of the Father's storehouse is open to us, which none but he can open. And he is now dispensing that spiritual food to his flock of true believers. So just think of it for a moment. We, brethren, are the special objects of his praise and of his grace. He has showered his wonderful power, wisdom, and love upon us. He who knows our needs, our wants, our heart's desires, our intents, without a word even being spoken. And he goes more than this. He looks at us not with respect to our weaknesses, but in spite of them. It's totally unmerited. He views our degree of love and devotion toward him, to the truth and the brethren. And who among us cannot trace a long line of special providences on our behalf? Looking back, we can truly see that the Heavenly Father has led us all the way. So our entire lives should be a prayer and a song unto him, a joyful song. This should truly strengthen us, strengthen our faith and trust even further to move us, to move our hearts to be quick in the service to the Lord and to show forth more love. Looking at some words in Psalm 50, verses 5 and 6, the ones that say, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. It will lead us to further want to trust in him, to please him in all things, to conduct ourselves according to his purposes. In the picture of the tabernacle, we have the court, as our young people have been studying this week. Or our justified humanity is sacrifice, our restitution rights willingly and daily yielded, as stated in Romans 6:13. Yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness. What joy we should have. We want to give our all, our time, our talent, our money, our hopes, our aims, desires, all proper in the world, but all yielded because these old things are passed away. It is an important lesson for us to learn, and only as we learn this lesson can we say, for me to live is to live for Christ. This is my heart's desire. And in our lives, as we have this heart's desire to show our appreciation to the Father for His love and for His mercy and for His care in providing everything for us, it would move us to want to do acceptable service to Him, to do His will, to go on in our lives, to follow in the Lord's footsteps, to suffer with Him. Indeed, we still have much to endure in this life. And we will go on with faithful labor for Him until the Master says, well done. This is our heart's desire. We will want our hands to be used in His service, our feet to be swift on errands for Him, of preaching the gospel, of witnessing. Our lips and our tongue will tell of His love, and we will say, nothing, Lord, will I withhold. I will gladly devote my all for Him. For the time is short indeed, brethren. Let us be faithful while the opportunity exists. This should be our heart's desire.